Hey, what's going on, good people here in the chat, the Zoom chat, and what's up to everybody out there? Facebook world, social media world, it's good to have you. We are joined here tonight for the third installment of the Boom Bap Chats. We have a very, very special guest straight out of Detroit. You might know him from the Wise Men crew. His work with Bronze Nazareth, his music is impeccable, it's incredible. We have the one and only Illa Days. What's up, Illa Days? How are you?
What's good? I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Thanks for doing it. And before we jump in to the content, can you tell the people how you got your name?
Oh man, how I got the name Illa Days. I was locked up upstate, man, and doing my time upstate, man, in the penitentiary, and you get tired of doing time or whatever, being there. So it's like you being sick and you just tired of it. So it came out to be ill. And the time came through was like years, minutes, hours, whatever, you know what I mean? So being sick, basically being sick and doing all them days and all them times and all them years, it came to be Illa Days. You know what I mean? So how you, if you put it, so you see, I know now, Illa Days. I was sick of doing time, basically. Like, yo, I'm ready to go home, man. This shit crazy, man. I used to go by Johnny Blaze. You know what I mean? When I used to go through the hallways of high school, my man used to say, Johnny Blaze. So I already knew what the time it was. We about to go smoke some blunts every time I heard that name. But I can't be no fucking Johnny Blaze, and you got Method Man, you know what I mean? You got these other Blaze, Johnny Blaze, all that shit. You know what I mean? So I end up getting locked up. And in the process of that, it just came out the Illa Days, yo, you know what I mean? And hell of a name. Nobody never had that name.
Yeah.
Nobody didn't come up with no concept like that. Nobody, see, that's why, that's a hell of a great, great, great question. Because I get asked that sometimes, but sometimes I don't. I think people just like the name of it, but they never say, yo, how the fuck you come up with Illa Days? How that name? It's nothing that I came up with. That name came through just life shit brought me that name.
That's cool. Basically. So that influenced your name. Being locked up, did it influence your music in any other ways?
Yeah, because I had stories every day, you know what I mean? Seeing fights, being in little shit, being in little arguments myself or whatever the politics of that shit was. Shit, you wake up, go to the bathroom at 3-4 in the morning, you see four legs in the stall, you know what I mean? You know, two niggas in there fucking and doing some wild shit, you know what I mean? So it's always some stories. It was always stories.
How long were you there?
A good three. It was a good three altogether. Look, man, a day to 100, a day to 1,000 years, it's still time to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it taught me a lot. You know what I mean? And you get that little time to think like, yo, do I still want to be a criminal when I go home, or do I want to get my life straight? You know what I mean? I just chose to try to get my life straight and end up fucking around and bumping into these niggas, man.
Yeah. Well, good. I know you mentioned stories. And one of the greatest storytellers of our time right here, Nas. This album, it was written. I know this album has a special place in your life. Can you speak on that? Why is this album meaningful to you?
Around that time, man, I was just right there in the moment of hip hop, man. And Nas, Kool G Rap, Mobb Deep, Woo, Ghostface, my favorite rapper and shit. And it was just storytellers and the words of how he was spitting his stories and everything, how clear it was. And sometimes you could close your eyes or not close your eyes and you could just envision the story, what's going on. Like, I got a story, like, we was going to do a show somewhere, man, out of state. And we was like, Browns was like, yo, man, so what you gonna call your album, man, your first album? I was like, shit, I don't know, bro. Man, he said, yo, yeah, what you gonna call it? Yeah. He said, man, then he was like, yo, man, you paint pictures like a motherfucker, man. You be painting pictures, and when you be painting your pictures, you're doing your rhymes or whatever. I can envision that shit. I can see what you're talking about line to line. I can hear your story. You know what I mean? What you're saying or whatever. He said, yo, illustrator, because you spit mm-hmm. shit. You write. You know what I mean? You paint pictures. I said, you know what? That's some dope shit right there. So that's how the illustrator name came up. You know what I mean? From guys like that, man. See that's why I like shit like this, man, because you get to know the artist. You get to know the artist and what's behind the artist's music and why they do certain things, why they do it, or why this name is this. And Blase Split. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's an ill cover for that album, too.
Yeah, man. And that Nas right there, man. And that album right there was just one of them gems, man, that will be forever with me. Just because it's just a cold album all the way through. If I ruled the world, the other little joints on there, man, Street Dreams, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My little cousin used to have this name called Street Dreams. You know what I mean? And that shit used to be crazy, man. So that's what we used to battle off of. You know what I mean? We used to take my little cousin down in the basement, me and my little homie Romy. Romy died, peace to Romy and shit. Romy passed. He was one of the best rhymers in our neighborhood. I used to take my little cousin down in the basement, and I'd be like, look, I'm about to rhyme against you. I'm about to show you what competition is. I'm gonna tell you, since I know you already, you're my cousin, I know everything about you. I don't know everything, but I'm about to say everything is I'm about to say some shit that's gonna hurt your heart, nigga. You know what I mean? And then, lo and behold, this nigga start rhyming better than me. You know what I mean? Even now when we go to family events and shit, man, he still do it, man. But Nas, man, cool. That's one of my favorite artists. And I don't care if these people who don't know about Nas talking about Nas ain't in my top 10. They don't know it. They don't know about Nas then. You know what I mean? Oh, he been there over 20 years. Okay, he probably rapping about different stuff now.
Right, exactly.
That's 20 years. He not rapping about the block or getting or what he got right now. He rapping about his daughter. He rapping about life. Right. He like Jay-Z trying to show people how to get a little money or whatever, do what you want to do. You know what I mean, bro?
He's rapping a good life now.
Yeah, you got no choice to rap about it.
Do you keep up with his current music? Music he's putting out recently?
Or
not so much?
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. So I'm going to have to say, not at the moment, but
so
but I still deal with his classics, man. You know,
yeah, man.
I like to keep. It's like if somebody doing good on life, or somebody passed that you loved and shit. You always keep them good memories right there. So
yeah,
I like
no
to Nas with Nas at. With that, dope. You know what I mean? His first album, his other albums and stuff like that. Like Nas is Light, it's like in my top five favorite songs, Nas is Light. The beat is just so stupid, man. Prem came with that fucking beat. When I heard the beat, then when that shit just dropped like dun dun dun, yeah. Shit is so never. I say, man, this shit's stupid cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one of his best.
Dog, I went straight to try to find the instrumental with that shit, man.
Yeah, same. I remember when that came out. I was so hyped. So Nas is a great storyteller. I know that you're big on stories. Kind of what the inspiration was behind it and kind of where your mind was and creating it.
Yeah. Ask me again because it had froze a little bit.
Yeah. No problem. I was saying, can you tell us a little bit about this new album, Kobe? How did that process start? Like, where was your mind at? How did that, you know, come about?
Very intimate question right there, man. That's a very, very intimate question. I was going through a lot, man. I was going through a lot when Kobe got made, man. Kobe took me a few years, man. I was somewhere else in my life, man. I mean, personally, me, I probably was a lost soul, and I really didn't give a fuck about too much nothing. Kobe is my nephew for one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Kobe, my nephew for one. He passed away, October 20th, 2017. He was my first nephew, so I always call him my first son. And
okay.
Kobe passed away, man. He was like 20-some years old, man, about 20, 22, whatever he was, 23 or whatever, 20-something like that. And the love of him, and I said, well, what can I do to honor his name for a very long time? Mm. And it seemed like every verse that I was writing always had him in there. I wanted to do something for his parents. And at the same time, it just so happened the world got a taste of Kobe too. So I just named the album Kobe, man, and put his name on there, put his pictures, baby pictures on there and shit like that. And that's how Kobe came up, man, because Kobe died. And I had to get him right. And man, this Kobe right here. I don't know if y'all can see that shit.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. The album cover. Yep. Oh, is that a shirt?
Yeah, this is a shirt right here, bro. Yep. Yep.
That's dope.
Y'all want a shirt, man? Just go to illadaysbandcamp.com, man. It's right there, man. Shirts and everything, man. So,
yeah, and the CD's on sale too.
Yeah. Go grab a few, man. Tell your friends to grab a few too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a dope album. So man, no doubt. It's one of my favorites this year. So it's produced entirely by Bronze Nazareth, right?
Kevlar. Kevlar got a song produced on there. Roll Blunt, my DJ from the UK. Blunt, you know what I mean? He did June Mega's album, Landshark Invasion.
Okay, cool.
That's why I'm on Lab Rats on June album, Piece of June, and Roll Blunt. But Bronze did the majority of the producing on there. And Kevlar got a beat produced on there and Roll Blunt. Yeah, man.
Dope. When you were working on this album, did they send you beat tapes to go through? Were you working on stuff together? What was that process like?
Shit, man. It was just me getting inside the studio and making it happen, man. Putting our magic together, what we always do. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It took me a while to do it, man, because, you know, sometimes you be people are people. I'm a real person. So I was just in a different state. So my second album should have been out, but through circumstances and shit, things happened. And that's how Kobe had got made or whatever. So, but yeah, just going to the studio and just knocking it out. Send me the beat. If I like it, I would, whatnot. Go through a few beats. Like, nah, man, I need something I can feel. You know what I mean? I always got to get something I can feel, man. If I can't feel it, man, there's no reason for me writing to it. I'm not going to write nothing to it. As soon as I hear it, I got a feeling, be like, yo, I got this right here. I like this. This is going to be cold. And then I just go into my room, man, turn the light off, man, and have that little light on, pinpoint on that paper right there, and let my hand do the jotting. That's how shit happens.
So the album has a real cohesive feel to it. Like all the beats, you know, have a similar vibe. They're different in their style, but there's a similar vibe. So it flows really well. When you pick the beats, are you thinking about that? Or are you just picking what sounds dope to you? And then after you record them all, you kind of put them together?
In a sense, you're right about that. But when I pick the beats, it was like a marriage, man. It was made to go with it. You know what I mean? I take my time. Usually I go to, like, when I write a verse, usually I got three beats that I use before I go to the real beat I'm going to use. Because I say, okay, if I can rap this shit off of these beats right here, these three beats that I go to, I know when I put it on there, it's going to sound heavy. You see what I'm saying? So that's my writing form. I got three beats that I go through every time for every song. And if them beats, and if that rhyme make the cut for them three beats, I know it's gonna make the cut for that. I just don't get on the beat and just rhyme to it. I gotta go back to my essence first. It's like going home to mama house. You know what I mean? And then I can put it out there to the world.
Yeah.
Go in there and do my thing. That's my process.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So are they the three same beats? Or there are three different beats every time? For each verse?
Same beats.
The three same beats. Can you tell us what those beats are? Or is it like, is it like an Illa Day secret?
I give you one beat that I always go to. I don't usually tell my secrets, man. I give you one beat that I usually go to. It's Cash Rules Everything Around Me, Cream Get the Money.
Oh, yes.
I put that instrumental on. I put and then I just go for it.
Yes, I can like
because it's slow. It's slow, but it's fast at the same time. So the tempo, I could either go either way with that. So sometimes I gotta slow my rhyme down, but if I go to my other beats, I might gotta speed it up a little bit. But boom, I still grab it. As long as I grab them three beats, that song make the cut. That song is on the tape. And if I like it, I gotta take it to my brothers. And if my brothers like it, I know the world gonna like it.
So I'm glad you brought up Cream, because one of the things that has attracted me to you and to the Wise Men and Bronze Nazareth is the Wu-Tang influence that I hear in y'all music. And, you know, with Detroit having, you know, with Dilla and others having, you know, kind of a distinct sound, kind of a Motor City soulful sound. And then, yeah, you guys kind of, it almost like you guys kind of almost stick out from that a little bit. You kind of you have created your own lane. How did that Wu influence come about with your crew?
Man, everybody got their own story with that one, man. I always been a fan, man, since I heard them.
Yeah.
And like I say, man, that's why I like storytellers. It was telling stories. Yeah. It was coming from a place that I could say, damn, I come from this place, but I'm just in a different city. I'm just in a different setting. I come from the same background. I gotta fuck me fight for a dope head and all this shit, man, or whatever. And I'm fighting every day, trying to do what I'm doing every day. So it was just man, I don't know, man. And then the wordplay, man, them niggas got that wordplay was just so fucking crazy, in which I really didn't know about, like I say, until I went upstairs reading books and everything. So when I read the books when I was gone, I could say, damn, instead of just listening to the music now, I know what it means when I hear the words. Because sometimes when you hear people say rhymes and they be flipping these words, you don't know what the hell he mean. So sometimes you just gotta look deeper. Then when you listen to that shit again, you could feel it more. You could understand it more.
Yeah.
And that's how that came about, man. And they was just some hell of a storytellers, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I say, Ray and Ghost is one of my favorite duos, man. AZ and Nas. AZ is one of my favorite fucking rappers. You know what I mean? But he don't get the accolades. You know what I mean? He don't get all the shine that he's supposed to get. But he a dog.
Yeah,
somebody told me earlier, talking about AZ first album wasn't no classic. I say, man, you gonna fucking sound stupid, man.
Every that song on there crazy. Is classic.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Like a classic album, man. Fuck with Nas, man.
Yeah, he's dope. So going back to Kobe for a second, is there a song on there that you could say is your favorite, or the one that really sticks out to you?
Ill News. I love Ill News. I like Loose Container.
Yeah.
Windblower, just because that beat
and
that second verse on Windblower. I like the first verse, but that second verse on Windblower, it was just the rhyme that I had in my vault, man. And when I heard the beat, and yo, straight up, Johnny Blaze, niggas, what's up? Like you don't know, I know you heard that I got cuffed. I hung around Pops the Puff, sipping scotch out of styrofoam cups, scuffed by the cops before I got stuffed. You know what I mean? So it was like, that was natural, man. The Windblower is like one of my, basically my favorite song on there. You know what I mean? So it was pretty deep, man. When I did that, I was proud of myself for doing that one, man. I'm proud of the whole album, actually.
Yeah, it's dope. I think Ill News might be my favorite, but there's another song in there. I think it might be Loose Containment. I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but there's some religion dropped in the song. Is that Loose Containment? There's some spirituality in it. You know which one I'm talking about?
It may be, man. It may be. I was just thinking on Loose Containment, I was thinking about my peoples at the same time in that song and everything. I was thinking about my mother and everything. My mother passed like 23 years ago. She's about 25 right now. Dead. You know what I mean? Deceased, whatever. Yeah, man, that's one of my favorites, man. But I don't know if it's a spiritual type of thing in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one it is, but I was just curious, you know, with, you know, the passing of Kobe and now, you know, you talk about your mom passing and just your life experiences. Is the spirituality play any role in your music and how you shape and form your lyrics into your music?
I think it do. But can I remember any songs that got the real spirituality in there? I'm not going to say I do or don't. I just go off of my feelings when I write. That's why all my shit is basically, I don't have no ghostwriter writing no lines for me or nobody helping me with no lines. It's just, this is just, I'm telling you line to line, my life, you know what I mean? So if it's any spirituality in there, that's where it come from.
Right.
I'm just going to say some real shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. That's cool.
Right.
Very cool. Well, hey, if you are listening to this out there and you don't have Kobe yet, you haven't heard it, go get it. Go listen to it because it's one of the dopest albums this year. So make sure you get that. Before we switch into another segment, I wanted to ask you if there was another producer, like if you could have any producer you wanted, any beat maker you wanted for your next album and they produce the entire album, who would you pick?
A producer for the next album to produce the whole album. Like I say, I have to go to the house with that one. I have to go back to my essence with that question right there. So if I could have any producer, and if I did, I would tell him, look, I don't want your 2020 beats and all them 2015, you know what I mean, from 2015 on up. Go to your essence. I tell him to go to his essence too, and that's RZA. I would tell him, man, go back to your essence, man. Go dig deep. Yeah. Take yourself back about 15 years or whatever, a good 10 years, man, and give me what I need.
Hey,
bring me that shit, man. You know what I mean?
Speaking of RZA, did you get a chance to check out that battle between RZA and DJ Premier?
You know what? I ain't even watched it because I know RZA was going to win that, man.
What's wild is the week before I saw a lot of people online saying that DJ Premier was just gonna, you know, kill him and it was over before it started and stuff like that. Premier, you know, was definitely gonna win the battle, which was weird because RZA had, I mean, they both have a lot of hits, but RZA had, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of pumping out albums that he produced with nothing but hits on them. So
Havoc.
Yeah.
Havoc, if I could. Sure. I have Havoc do it, if I could. Well, I have Havoc do it.
That's dope.
But right. I just tell RZA, go back, man, and give me that shit, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No doubt. All right, so I want to move into a segment called One Word. So I'm going to flash an album on the screen. And first word that comes to your mind, tell us the first word that comes to your mind. And if you haven't heard the album, it's all good. We'll pass on it. We'll go to the next one. All right.
I'll do my best.
There you go. Since we started with It Was Written, we'll take it back to this one. One word to describe that one.
Classic, man. Classic. Okay.
All right. How about this one right here? Have you heard that one? You might have heard the mixtape. You may not even seen the cover. It's a Bronze Nazareth mixtape.
I see it. When I see that, I still see myself in the hospital. And Calvin Bryant's coming there. I had a hole in it. I had a hole big as a quarter in my neck. And they came in and said, "Yo, can you still write?" I said, "I can still write. I just can't talk." So when I see that album, I think about me still being in the hospital and shit, man. Oh,
wow. So what happened to you to end up in the hospital? Were you in a car accident?
If you listen to Super Bowl Cypher, that was the first song. Super Bowl Cypher was the first song that I made with the Wiseman, that I made with the Bronzeman and Kevlar and everything. That's the same night that I got in my accident. That's the same night I met Salute the Kid. That's the same night I met Filioso. And that's the same night I got inducted into the group. You know what I mean? They heard my verses. And yeah, if y'all get a chance to listen to Super Bowl Cypher, that's the first song that I made with them guys. And that's the same night when I walked out the house, I was standing by my car talking to Kevlar 7. And I got in my car and 2 minutes later, man, I got hit bad, man. I was, wow. I was, I died for a little bit, came back to life, and and broke all my bones was broke in my chest and my back. I ended up being in a wheelchair, man, after so long of walking and shit, man. It's been like 14 years right now. It'd be 15 years for me. You know what I mean? Sitting down.
Well, I would assume that was a pretty rough adjustment, going from, you know, being able to walk and run around to, you know, being restricted to a wheelchair.
It's a hell of a fucking life, bro. This shit ain't easy, but hey, I make it look like it is, though. I just do what I do.
That's a good attitude. Are there still days where it gets you really down?
Nah.
Move past that?
I'm past that, man. I just go about my day every day, man. I just live, baby. I just live, man.
Hey, that's inspiring, man. That's inspiring. Speaking of inspiring, what do you think about this album right here? Have you heard this one?
Slum Village. I think about, when I see Slum Village, I think Detroit.
Yeah. I just love this album. Okay, right here.
Favorite rapper. One of my favorite albums. I say favorite rapper, Ghost. I see Ghost, you know what I mean? He just set the tone for a lot of shit, man. He set the tone for me.
He's the one
who got me starting to rap. He got me starting. He got me in the rap, so. And I met him. We had a nice little talk and everything.
That's dope. Can you remember the first time you heard Ghostface?
Ghostface, something around with a hype verse.
Yeah, man.
I said, oh man, this guy's killer, man.
That's dope.
The funny thing about it though, man, you try to imitate your favorite rappers, and man, when you're young and everything, man. Try to imitate them. But you come with your own style. So when I see that album right there, I just like, that's close to my heart, man. And I'd be like, it's my favorite rapper, man, Ghostface.
So there's a lot of discussion, debate, argument, conversation around which album is better, this album or his second album, Supreme Clientele. And that,
Supreme, look, MC Till, man. Now, what type of question is that, man?
I assume you think Supreme Clientele is the stronger album.
Supreme Clientele is stupid, man.
I don't know, man. This album's pretty raw, though. The beats on here.
That's a class. I'm gonna say MC Till. I'm gonna say Brother Till. Iron Man is a classic album, man. But Supreme Clientele is what it is. It's a Supreme album, man.
All the way through. Before we go on. We're going to unmute Kaz, Meta, and Bo Brown. Usually we don't unmute until the very end. And my man, Jay Brookins, if you want to jump into it, I got to know what you guys think. Supreme Clientele or Iron Man? Which one do you think is the stronger album for you guys?
All right, we about to argue now.
Supreme Clientele is his magnum opus.
Dude, Jay Brookins, you know why I don't own a copy of that album?
Did I take it from you?
You might have. I think I burned a copy from you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I still need to buy it. All right, Kaz.
I skipped out of high school to go grab that album. So that's a special place in my heart.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
look, the people have spoken.
Well, hold on. It's Supreme 2. Kaz, who you got? Which one you got?
I mean, I'll say Iron Man.
All right.
Still a good choice. It's a classic. We all got our opinions.
What you got, Bo Brown?
Is a draw an option? No, I got to pick a side. I can't ride the fence on this one.
That's a hard one, man.
I'm going to go with Supreme Clientele.
Oh, Supreme for the win.
Dang, there it is. Supreme for the win. I kind of feel like a draw too, but for me, it goes back and forth. Like, my favorite albums, change for, year after year as I experience more life. Yeah. And for a long time, it was Iron Man. Then, Supreme Clientele took the spot for a little bit. But I think Iron Man's back at the number one spot for me. I just love this album. I love them both, though. It's hard. They're both dope albums. All right, I got one more.
The only reason I said Supreme Clientele and between Iron Man and Supreme Clientele, because I'm like everybody else, it's a draw. But if I had to choose one to listen to, if somebody said, which one you gonna take to listen to, you could throw one away and keep one. Which one you gonna wanna listen to? I will have to say Supreme Clientele. Even though one of my favorite songs is Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child from Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit was so dark. I just felt when I heard Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, I could see niggas in the, I could see motherfuckers in the alley with pistols and see people right there by the movie theater and everything. I could see the little nigga coming up with trying to rob and shit and got smoked himself trying to rob a nigga. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love Iron Man, but if I had to choose one, I gotta go with Supreme, man. Yeah. You just flipped it, man. I call that type of shit on I call that unorthodox writing, and that's how I write. Very unorthodox. You never know what's gonna come out my mouth. So that's why I love Supreme Clientele. There you go.
Both great albums. All right, I'm curious to know if you know this cat right here, One Below.
One Below, yeah.
You know this, if you heard this album.
Yeah, I heard it, but what comes to mind, I really can't say.
All good. I pulled this one up just because, you know, I know he's another Detroit cat, and this album really spoke to me because it was one of those times where I bought it off the strength of the cover. Cause I didn't know One Below at the time when I saw it, and I thought that just looks dope, so I'm gonna buy it. And I was a bit blown away by the lyricism on it, and just his presence on the mic. So, and I feel like even though he has a different style than you, you're very different. I feel almost like a similar essence when I listen to both of you. It's just something about, I don't know. So anyway, I just wanted to check to see if you knew One Below. Is he still making music? Do you know?
I believe so, man. Probably just, I don't know if he's making music right now, but more likely he making some music. These Detroit cats, man, they don't stop making music. Hey. They make music every fucking day. They like Master P. Remember in the Master P era?
Every Tuesday, there'd be a No Limit release.
Shit. Every 2 days, he was coming out with a different fucking album, man. So, hey, he deserved to be rich. You know what I mean? He deserved to be up there, man.
He put out a lot of albums.
Yeah, he had like about 30 motherfuckers coming out. This nigga, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. He was just dropping albums.
Is there anyone in Detroit right now, you know, aside from the cats that, you know, row with you and your crew, anyone in Detroit that is really impressing you right now?
Yeah, it is. The Wavy Brothers, the Wavy team, PZT, Maya, Babyface Ray, you know what I mean? Vizo, Icewear Vizo, you know what I mean? They got Detroit on the lockdown, man. And hopefully soon, man, I get to get with them guys, man, and make a song, man, because they got it, bro. They got it. They got a different sound, but it's their sound. They telling their stories, you know what I mean? And that's how it is, bro.
Yeah,
you know, when somebody on top like that, you always want to get to the top. You know what I mean? You want to be up there. You want to be up there too. So if I get a chance, yeah, I'm gonna make a song with them because it's just ill. You know what I mean? But don't get me wrong about it. Everybody don't know everybody. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Everybody got their own fan base. Like, yeah. I might got my own little fan base. They might get their own little fan base. And we probably don't even know each other from a can of paint, a hole in the wall. but once we do, he grabbed my peoples. When I say my peoples, because I don't consider people that follow me or buy my music just regular people. I consider them family. You know what I mean? So when he grabbed my family, I could grab his family. So now we got a bigger stage now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who, if you bigger, I could be up there with you. If I'm bigger, you can come up here with me. Come on upstairs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it, bro.
That's cool. I've always enjoyed the music coming out of Detroit. A lot of great music out of Detroit, for sure. All right, let's see. We got Bo, Kaz, and my man Jay Brookins. If you all have any questions or any comments that you want to make at this time, we will open up the floor. You can unmute yourselves, or I guess I unmuted you. So yeah, any questions from you guys?
I was just kind of wondering if you could say a little bit about Kevlar 7 and what he meant to you both musically in that relationship, but also on a personal level. Who was Kevlar 7 to you?
I met Kevlar 7, 205. I was with a chick, and Kev used to come to my house. And we used to sit on opposite sides of the couch. This would be two big couches. I'd be on one couch, he'd be on one couch. We never said nothing to each other, ever. Every time he came over with his girl, his girl was my girl's sister. You know what I mean? And we never said nothing. And one day she came out the back room like, Kev, you know Johnny rapping shit. You know what I mean? And from there, it's funny that you asked that because I just said this song earlier. And when Kev saw that, we started talking. And then he took me to the car. He put the stupidest, slowest fucking beat on that I could ever fucking, he said, what you can say off this? I said, what the fuck is this, man? I'm not used to this shit. But I still said what I had said, man. And next thing I know, I was in Brian's crib. Brian's didn't do nothing but turn his chair around. I went back to Brian's chair. I went back to Brian's crib. He looked at me again, turned his chair around. I went back the third time. He said, so what you got to say, man? You know what I mean? And so I got to thank Kev. That's why I said thanks, Kev, for bringing me in. If you listen to Illustrator on Obvious Destiny, that's why I said, bro, thanks for bringing me in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That song was dedicated to him and my mother on Illustrator. So Kev played a big part. Even when I was going out of town, I told him all my complications and everything. He was like, yo, bro, don't worry about it, man. Come on. We got you. June, I remember going to the beach house, man. The beach house had like 200 steps. We was drunk as fuck, man. Leaving Grand Rapids, man. Going up to the beach house, man. I don't know. It was somewhere in Michigan somewhere. It was a beach house neighborhood. And June took me up all them steps. Him and Kev carried me up 200 steps, man. Because the lift was broke. Yeah. Hey, yo, check it out, though. The lift was broke. I was like, yo, man, I'm just going to sit in the van and shit. I'm just going to sit in the van. It's like, no, you ain't, no. They said, we roll as one, man. We going to roll as one. We looked at that lift. They said, damn, the lift out. I said, fuck it. Come on, let's take them up, man. We was drunk as fuck going up them damn steps. It was 200 damn steps. I swear to life. You can ask anybody who was with me that night. Yeah, man. So Kev play a big part. Kev play a big part in everybody's life, man. He used to be talking back and forth with Chuck D and all the artists and everything. Like my man used, like my man on here said, I met Kev through MySpace, man. Kev talked to everybody. He had a humble heart, man. If you ever had a chance to meet him, man, you will understand that Kev was one in a million type of person, man. And I'm glad to say that he's my brother and that he brought me into where I'm at right now, man. Well, I wouldn't even be here doing no interview or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I still be in the streets doing whatever, you know what I mean? So I love Kev, man. And when he passed, my grandfather passed the same month in 2015. And I think my grandfather passed like on the 12th, Kev passed like on the 23rd before Christmas and shit. And it was just a big, 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 big thing, man. It was a big thing, man. And that's my brother, man. And thank God that he left a lot of music out here and stuff like that, that his brother still has some time. You know, his brother still has some of Kev music. So you always going to hear Kev somewhere in music still going every time you do something. Kev name or his voice going to be somewhere because as a musician, we tend to just record a whole bunch of crazy shit. You know what I mean? Bullshit or not, we just tend to record shit, and it just so happened to jump and get on tapes or whatever. So I gotta say, Kev play a big part, man, because Kev the one who brought me in. So I would never be, well, I'd never be where I'm at right now, right here. I probably have been somewhere else, but I'm right here.
Yeah, you're part of the legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you met him, man. That's dope. That's Thank really you. Dope. Yeah, thanks, Bo. Jay, Brooklyn's cast, you got anything? If not, that's fine.
Man, I'm just enjoying the conversation, man. But salute Illa. Keep making Illa, ill music, man. You know what I mean? That's all I can say. Keep making it, bro.
I appreciate you, man. Look, man, I tell myself I'm not getting rich off this shit, but when I see stuff like this, this is a sign to me, like, this is why I make my music, man. I make the music, bro. It ain't about money all the time, man. I swear to life with that, man. I live pretty good, man, but it ain't about money all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I'm a storyteller myself, so I like to listen to storyteller raps, man. So, yeah, man, you keep telling them stories, bro.
Hey, look, man, look. I know you probably be a storyteller, man. I see the background. You got a lot of books back there, brother.
Yeah, I do my thing. I do all right.
Yeah, man, that's good, man. I don't know if they look like books or whatever, man. But you, yeah, man. So yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Actually, back there, I got books too, for sure. Books, CDs, music, media, DVDs. We collect it all around here.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, man, that's it, bro.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. Sorry, someone just
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Someone was hit me up trying to get in the link. Anyway, yeah. Dope album for all of you out there streaming this right now, watching the stream rather, whether it's live or, you know, the next day or whatever. If you do not have this new album, the album's entitled Kobe, C-O-B-Y, by Illa Days. It's if you like good hip hop music with the boom bap soul feel to it, this is gonna be an album that you like. It's dope from beginning to end. If you tuned in earlier, you know that Bronze Nazareth has a lot to do with the sound of the album, and you know his pedigree. So it's a really dope album. So if you don't have it, make sure you go get it, check it out, listen to it. Illa Days, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you taking some time to come share some of your stories, some of your life with us. Very inspiring person, man. You've been through a lot, seen a lot of death in your life, gone through some things. Seems like you have a great attitude, and I really appreciate that attitude, your inspiration. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing yourself.
No problem, baby, no problem at all, man. You know what I mean? So I hope that everybody that's listening, people that didn't tap in but they just looking and listening, man, y'all gonna grab that Kobe album, go grab some t-shirts, go grab the illustrator, man. You know what I mean? I'm a good guy, yes, man, bro. You know what I mean? Have fun, man. Just have fun in y'all life, man. Be safe out here. And relax, you know what I mean? Everything gonna be all right, man. We all gonna be all right.
We're all gonna be all right. That's right. And next week, we'll be back here, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, same link. And next week, we have another heavy hitter. If y'all know about A1, A1 does stuff with Phonics. He just put out a new album. It's one of the best albums of the year. Very different style from Kobe. Yeah. It's a much more laid back, kind of feel, but it's a really dope album. So we'll be talking to him and talking about that album next Thursday night. So A1, hopefully, man, you can join us A1, back. Man. Yeah, he's dope. That whole Don't Sleep crew is really dope. So so for you all in the Zoom link, you can hang around for a bit. The live link is about to stop. So thanks for tuning in if you're tuning in live, and we'll see you next Thursday. Peace. All right, I think it's no longer live. If it is, I look like a fool now.
It's live.
Is it still live?
It says it's live.
Yeah, yeah, I think it just takes a minute, maybe.
Word.
Hey, brother, man, keep yourself cool, baby.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks again, man. I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man. No problem, man.
Yep.
No problem at all, dog.
Very good, man. We'll-